Here in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, let's take a look at this one verse here. Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It goes on to say there in verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they may also may obtain mercy. Here it's telling about how we, the Gentiles, have been included in, and Israel has rejected the Lord, and the Lord has taken that. The blindness that's referred to there in verse 25, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Lord has done those things, and He's brought us in.
Amen.
And the work here in verse 29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The title that I've got for this message, the call of the Lord, does He ever change His call? The call of the Lord, does He ever change His call? And I think we're going to see, we can certainly see in the Scriptures, that the answer is no. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and take a look over here. The apostle writing to the church here at Corinth, and he tells them something here that indicates a thing. And of course, I trust you know the Scriptures that talk about how it is the Lord referring to His church as a bride, referring to His church as a her. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. When the Lord talks about marriage, what's He talk about it being? He talks about it being permanent, doesn't He? He talks about it being permanent. And that's the way the apostle is talking to this church. He's talking to the church collectively. He's talking about talking to the individual members in that church. And he says, I've espoused you to one husband. And so that what we have in the church and what the Lord has done with us, He's put us in His church, and it's likened to a marriage. The Ephesians talks about one body and one Lord. One baptism. And it talks about that oneness that we have in the Lord and what He's done for us in placing those that He has called in His kind of church. The Lord built His kind of church, didn't He? During the day of His earthly ministry. You know what it says, Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord built His church, and He called folks, as He walked there on the seashores of Galilee, He said to this one and to that one and the other one, He said, come follow me.
Amen.
That was simply the Lord building His church, and that material that had been prepared by John, that baptism that John had been sent with, and that the Lord said that even death would not prevail against His institution of the church. And we know that He speaks scripturally in the Scriptures, He speaks about it as one church from the standpoint of the institutional sense. Very much like we would speak about the car, yet we all don't ride in one big car. But He gives that instruction about the church that way. But we know that as that church was there with Him in Jerusalem, and then that church made other churches and made other churches and made other churches, all the way down here to the Olmsted Baptist Church today. He built His church, and it is very much like unto marriage. That oneness in Ephesians that the Lord talks about, we'll not turn over there and read it, but you, I trust you know about that Scripture. Isn't that what the Lord says about marriage? Two will be made one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, twain will be one flesh. And we are enjoined to the Lord that way. We believe that the next point that we want to just mention, and want to mention, we believe that Olmsted Baptist Church, that the Lord adds to His church. Because it's His church, and He adds to His church. We don't add to His church. He adds to His church. In Acts 2, verse 47, the Scripture says there that the saints were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church there at Jerusalem that the Lord left, gave a commission to, gave the Holy Spirit unto from the standpoint of the work of the Comforter, and all those promises that He made unto her. 1 Corinthians 12. I trust this is going to be a review for you. I hope that it is. If it's not, we can learn or some things maybe be refreshed. Look what it says here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Who's the apostle speaking to? He's speaking to the church at Corinth. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Okay, and that's the way it is. We've got individual members here that God has added to Olmsted Baptist Church, and but we are one body put together by Him with the Spirit of God through that baptism and the working of God in us. Verse 18, look what it says there. "But now hath God set in the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." He adds to the body. Ephesians chapter 4, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And I heard a preacher mention about this, that our natural body, each of the bones and parts secrete things that are necessary for the health of that joint that they're connected to and that other member that's there. What are you and I, as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, what are we secreting? Is it the fruit of the Spirit, or is it bitterness? Is it bitterness, hardness? Is it the fruit of the Spirit that'll help that other part? Or is it, are we in a place that we just need? Or are we giving out that which is going to be for the edifying of the body? How is it? I mean, that's the reason that the Lord says the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And so we have that responsibility. In Luke chapter 6, it says, "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." He gave leadership in the body. And the apostles were the first that He set in the church to provide the leadership and the witness and that transition team that the Lord so wisely purposed and planned to go from this, the keys of the kingdom and the Word of God in dealing with the world, God's representative on the earth, going from being a nation to being His church, going from being a people, a tribe, a nation, the Israel that He had chosen, and through beginning at Abraham, and now going to the church that would include all nations in different churches and in different times. If the Lord adds to, sets in, fitly joins, compacts, and baptizes into the body, then how are we to remove ourselves from such? Amen? If that's the Lord's doing, not our doing, but His blessing upon us, and that He has done this thing and does this thing with people, you know, it's really, we live in a day that where we just don't understand. We become so independent, so worldly, so carnal, so self-sufficient, so enamored by our ability and our power and our wisdom, that we lose sight of who God really is. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar said, God does what He wants to amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and there's not one that grabs a hold of His hand and says, "What are you doing?" Right. We got to realize that. Amen. We need to realize that that's the case. Amen. And so if the Lord adds to, sets in, fitly joins, compacts, and baptizes into the body, then how are we to remove ourselves from such? Remember what it said in Romans 11, verse 29? The gifts and calling, go over there and read that again. I want you to see that. Romans 11, 29. It says, "For the gifts," isn't salvation a gift?
Amen.
Yeah, it is, and it's forever, isn't it? Indeed it is.
Right.
And it isn't salvation a calling? Indeed it is. And is the Lord going to change His mind about that? No. When He purposes to do a thing, He does it. It's settled. And the gifts and calling, is not the call of the Lord to His kind of New Testament Baptist church? Isn't that His calling and His working? Now, the Bible says right here, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If the Lord has done such, I believe that it may be, as it said in Acts 2 there, the Lord adds to the church. When the Lord adds to the church, they've been added. Now, we see in the time operation and how we are here and live and we deal with people and we engage people and such as that, there may be folks that add themselves. There may be folks that we might add. But when the Lord adds, they'll stick. That's why I believe it. Because God is in control of just that. The third point we want to take a look at is the Lord has established that He will get glory from His church. Not our glory, but He will get glory from His kind of church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, look what it says there. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The apostle says, there is where the glory is at. Somebody says, well, I believe that the Lord gets glory other ways. Indeed, He does when the truth is manifested. But you know what? On this earth, it's in the church. And His kind of churches, and His kind of New Testament Baptist churches is where the most glory is exhibited. When Israel was there as a nation, and Israel was right as a nation before God, the glory of the Lord shone upon that nation to the world, didn't it? It didn't shine in Babylon. It didn't shine in, it doesn't even shine in the U.S., although the Lord has blessed us. But the institution that the Lord set His love on, gave Himself for, His church, that's where the most glory is radiated from for the Lord, when those churches, when she is right. When she is right. And that's the order and the purpose. The Lord didn't set out a plan. Noah didn't have two or three options on how to build the ark. Moses didn't have two or three options how to order the ceremonial law. Abraham didn't have two or three options about where to go to inherit a land. God had the plan. And God set the order. And we need to remember that. And in the Lord's church is the place where a child of God can give and radiate the most glory unto his Savior, because that church is the Lord's bride. And that's where we need to be found. That's the design. When the Lord receives His glory from His church, and He has added, set, fitly joined, compacted, and baptized us into His body, how can one be removed from such? If we've been added to that body by Him, how can it be that one can be removed from such? Point number four. When we've been added to His body, which is the church, why would one want out? Why would you want out? Amen? Why would you want out? If that's the Lord's body and that's the Lord's working and we understand what the Lord has so blessed us with, remember what it says in Romans 11:29? The gifts and calling. It's a gift to be saved. It's a gift to be put in the Lord's church. Indeed it is. Why would one want out of that? If it is a calling indeed of the Lord, why would one want out of that calling? Well, there's different reasons and different things that prevail amongst men. We justify what we think. We justify what makes sense to us. We are offended by things, or things come up that we just grab a hold of and just can't let go and reconcile it. Or if we're weak in the Word of God and don't know the promises of the Lord, we can't be partakers of His divine nature. And things will get under our skin and things will discourage us and we will fall away. It can be. The next point, the promises to the Lord's people in His kind of Baptist churches in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 are to he that overcometh. He that overcometh. And you know what? The overcomers are not listed anywhere but in the churches. I trust you know those passages well enough to know in those seven churches there at Asia Minor, over and over and over again, through those seven churches, the Lord chides them for the things that are irregular and not right amongst them. But then He says, I'll make a promise to the overcomers. And He doesn't make a promise to overcomers that are not in His church. He says, the overcomer will be in My church. And He makes some great promises, some great and wonderful promises there. In the church, to the overcomers, and not to one that is easily offended and leaves. In John chapter 6, verse 67, take a look over there. Here, the Lord has talked, He's given them something. He's given all of His disciples and all those that listen on in the multitude there that's following along, He gives them something that is just hard for them to take. He says, you've got to eat of My flesh and drink of My blood to be a partaker of Me. He said, we can't handle that. This pack of folks is packing, going around with him there and chasing him around for the free lunch. They said, that's too much. Can't take that. The free lunch is not worth it. The free lunch is not worth it. And so many of his disciples go away. And the thing is those words that he said about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, verse 56 of John 6, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Bottom line. We got to partake of Christ just like we partake of food. Christ is essential to the spiritual life and to eternal life and forgiveness of sins. We need Christ worse than this body needs food. We need Christ worse than this body needs food. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the disciples go away. Or many of them do. Look what the Lord asked there in 67, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And I just enjoy this so, the testimony of Simon Peter, verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
There's nowhere else to go, there's nowhere else to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And he goes on, and we believe and are sure. We believe and are sure, solid, that thou art that Christ, the Messiah, the Savior,
Amen.
And that you are the Son of the living God. There's nowhere else to go. This is it. This is where you are. And the Lord's not off somewhere else, some other group. He's there with His church, isn't He? Will you also go away, He asked them. Go away from what? Will you also go away? Those that left, where did they go away from? They went away from where? They went away from the assembly, the church, and they went away from the Lord. Will you also go away? That's what He asked. I didn't ask it. He asked it. Next point, in my opinion, these Scriptures talk about the falling away, or this incident here in John chapter 6, the falling away, which the Scripture speaks about. This going away that it's going to be. There's Scriptures to talk about. 2 Thessalonians, take a look over here. You know, and the thing is, folks, is we need to realize we can't pick and choose which Scriptures we like and going to hold to and all that. We got to hold to all of it. Because the Lord gave all of it.
Right,
and we can't pick favorites. And we all have things about the Scripture and all have things that are wonderful and that really the Lord really touches us with. But all of it is the truth because God gave all of it to us, didn't He?
Amen.
He did. He gave all of it to us. And so we can't pick and choose about what we're going to keep or what we're going to make more important. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He said there's going to be a falling away. And it's not going to be the falling away of the world because the world is already away from God. It's talking about those that seem to be a part of the church and are not. They're going to fall away. I agree with the brother in what he said earlier. There's going to be a falling away and it's going to get thin.
That's right.
We're going to meet together for services when gas gets to $6 a gallon. May the Lord help us that we would. You know what I'm saying? When there's a threat, when they lock up the doors, say, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. But they lock up the doors and say we can't meet here anymore. We can't have this public representation of a church being here and meeting here. We still going to meet? Listen, I tell you what. If you don't come when the doors are open here and it's comfortable inside and all that, won't be meeting then.
Right.
I mean, don't be fooled.
Amen.
Won't be meeting then. Hebrews chapter 6. Here, we will not read the whole chapter, but it apostasy is talked about here, and faithfulness is talked about. And look what it says here in verse number. Let's read from verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection or maturity. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's good stuff. But we need to move on and learn some more.
Amen.
Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. What it's talking about. The gospel's the gospel, and the word of God's the word of God. There's nothing else. There's nothing else that saves, and there's no other doctrine to pursue than the doctrine that the Lord's given us in His Word. That's it. That is it. And that's what we need to be about and have within us and follow after.
Amen.
There's not something else. There's not like second level, third level, fourth level. It's what God has given. It's what God has given. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here the apostle warns these that he's writing to in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Right? Because the Lord's coming back. And the Lord's going to destroy this earth. And if he's going to do and deal with the wicked as he is, we need to be, being His children and being enlightened about the truth, we need to be about serving Him. What's He say? In peace, without spot, and blameless. He's not talking about that there won't be any false accusation made toward us, because that will be. But let it not be true when we're accused of sin. Let it not be true. Verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And note that. Don't be wrestling around with the scriptures. Hear it, take it, believe it. That's what the Lord tells us to do. He says, believe what I say. There are those that are here, unstable, unlearned and unstable. They rest, they twist against the Scripture. And you know what? It takes them down the road of destruction. You know, whenever I buck against the Word of God, it's going to hurt me.
Right.
Mark it down, because it's a living book. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, look out, because you can fall away. And let it not be it. And I believe the Scripture tells us about the perseverance of the saints. But it's going to be worked in us. And we are responsible there for the Lord. And we need to pray the Lord to help us, that we would persevere. The Lord has purposed things and planned things and has ordained things as He has, but you and I are here living in time. And tonight, this afternoon, many of you went to work, maybe went to school, had the work that you did at home, whatever it was, and then you purposed to come to services. Had you not purposed, you wouldn't be here. The Lord's just not going to pick you up and usher you here as an example. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord. A falling away, that's going to be, and may the Lord help it that it not be us. You know, there's also, the next point is there's also a spirit of apathy. The world says today, I'm going to serve the Lord the way I want to. And many are heeding that today, that attitude. I'm going to serve my way. I'm going to do it my way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. What God means in the Scripture is what He means. If two people disagree about a passage, you can only have two things that are possible. One's wrong, one's right, or both are wrong. Because both can't be right. Okay? You hear that? God means in His Scripture what He means. And if you have a disagreement between those that are looking on this Scripture, there's a disagreement between the two, there can only be two things that can happen. One's right, one's wrong, or both are wrong. Because both can't be right. Both cannot be right. Because God says what He means and means what He says. In 1 John 4, you know this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. There's stuff flying about, every wind of doctrine going about. And are we going to take it up? Or are we going to believe what the Lord says in His Word and what His church stands for in the truth? James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So I'm going to serve God my way. I'm saved, everything's great, but I'm not going to serve the Lord in this church. I really don't give. I want a place I can go, a church, quote unquote, that I can go, and I can feel good there. I can feel comfortable there. You know, it's there's no pressure, there's no tension, there's no problem, there's no doctrine. Isn't that crazy? An attitude of no doctrine. But when the Lord just talked about, He talked often about His doctrine and how those, the religious elite of the day, didn't give a lick about His doctrine. They hated His doctrine. The works and obedience pleasing to the Lord are a manifestation of what the Lord has done in us. And the thing is, I've got a message that I'm going to preach sometime here about legalism. Do you serve the Lord and do the things that you do and obey the Lord to keep God off your back? Wrong attitude. That's not it. We're to serve the Lord out of love.
Amen.
His love constrain us to obey Him.
Right.
Not to keep God off my back here and God keep off my back here, like God's this nagging father. It's just nag. Wrong reason.
Yeah.
Wrong reason. Because see, the Lord loves His children unconditionally. Whether I sin or whether I do well, the Lord loves me because He set His love on me.
Right.
Now,
amen.
Is that a license just for me just to do whatever I want to do? No. I should be desirous of obeying Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about those that have a form of godliness but deny the power of thereof. The Lord says, turn away from them. The Lord says, turn away from them. In Romans chapter 1, you know about that, how paganism and idol worship turns into all these nasty things. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God. This is what's in us naturally. Neither were thankful, but became vain, empty in their imagination, their thinking. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into whatever they wanted. And it goes ahead and talks about the form of man or beast or things like that. But they turned God into what they wanted. A falling away, a going away, an idea and spirit of apathy that will just serve the Lord the way we want to. The Lord has built His church. You know, I go to church regularly. I go to a church. I go to church. These are statements that folks say. So I go to church regularly, or I go to a church, or I go to church. See, it's a misunderstanding, and hear what I'm saying. An attitude that says, well, I get my requirement completed in going to church. One church is as good as another. You know, this type of thinking conveys a universalist attitude because it seems that one may think, I'm attending a church to which I'm not a member, say, but that is as good as going to the church to which I'm a member. Therefore, going to a church is what's important. Just make sure you're in a church sometime. You know, many times folks come on and say TV, or we had a where I grew up, we had a weather man that always said on Friday, said, go to the church of your church or synagogue of your choice this Sunday. That's not good advice. You need to go worship where the Lord is. And this attitude about just getting church done or going to church or whatever. We need to go to worship the Lord. And we need to be a member of one of His kinds of churches. That's what He commands for those that are saved. I need to go to my church where I've been added by the Lord and there serve Him and there grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. This idea of just getting church taken care of on Sunday, I believe one that adopts this kind of thinking has went to church service, and now my duty to God is fulfilled. The only time they think about church is on Sunday and getting the job done. Rather than seeing church services where in the church where the Lord has placed them as being that recharge session, that encouragement of the saints, that fellowshipping and serving and worshiping the Lord in His Word as the Lord has commanded. This idea of just going to church is a mental thing, a mental exercise that they do. And rather than serving the Lord in life, they just get this accomplished. You know, somebody that just talks about going to church and adopts that thinking that's common in the world, that thinking and that logic does not understand what the Lord's kind of Baptist church is, do they? Nor do they understand what it is to be added to the Lord's kind of church, as we've mentioned before. In Colossians chapter 3, the Scripture says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." You hear that? Peace. Peace by being blessed by the Lord to be put into His body and be thankful for it. You know, many have an idea, and may the Lord help us, that our church membership is an obligation. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It's a gift.
Amen.
Not an obligation. And it's a gift from our Savior. And it's a blessing from Him. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at this. The apostle admonishes the church here at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. He says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you. Hear that? Called you unto His kingdom and glory. Calling us to His kingdom, I believe, is talking about salvation. Being made a child. Being made to where we can see the kingdom of God. Being made His son. And then when it says here, called you unto His kingdom and glory, I believe we can take that and apply that to the church. Where is it the Lord is going to get glory in? In the church. And He says, Church of Thessalonica, members there in particular, He says, walk worthy of God. Serve Him well. Walk humbly with Him who's called you to salvation, His kingdom, and has put you in His church. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Not only were they saved, but they were convicted that a church needed to be there, and the apostle was sent with the authority to organize such. The call of the Lord. Does He ever change His call? No, He doesn't. He doesn't change His call. They are without repentance.